Blog Talk Radio.
Does anybody want the Lord to make him over? Just begin to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn whatever you're going through around.
going to have a feeding this weekend if anybody's available to come out to the feeding. And we just got a lot going on. I'm going to trying to figure a way to have the program when me and my wife are out of the country for like a week and a half. So I'll keep you guys updated with that as well. But to see if I can do something where you can still get the word, because I'm trying to figure it out. So y'all just be praying with me about that too. So got a few things going on with that. What else we got going on? We got the Give Back Day coming up. Carl Latimer will give you some information on that as well. Just a lot of good things that's going on. And we want y'all to be a part of it. And remember, if you're not from Tangelo Park, Carl Latimer said all the time, that doesn't mean that you can't participate. So don't think you can't participate just because you're not from the Tangelo Park area. Amen. So let's open up in a word of prayer. And then when we come out of word of prayer, we are going to the word. Tonight is going to be a part two of this message as well about being grounded in faith. It'll be a part one and a part two because it's so long we won't be able to get into all of it tonight. So Friday night we'll pick up where we left off. So just remember, if you don't get it all, we'll pick up where we left off on Friday night. Amen. Let me just check this line to see if Sister Katheria is available to pray. Like I normally, she's at work, or if she's not on a break, she won't be able to do it. If she hits one, she'll be able to pray. If not, I'll go ahead and pray. Amen. All right. All right. Well, she's just at work, but we thank God for you, Sister Katheria. Okay, well, she hit one, so we're going to allow her to pray, to open us up in prayer, everybody. And then we'll go to Carl Latimer for a few announcements. Felicia Nevers is not on. She may be in church right now. So right after Carl Latimer give his announcements, we'll go right into the word right after that. So we're going to open up Sister Katheria line for prayer. Amen.
Father God, I come to you right now as humble as I know how, Lord. Lord God, I give you thanks for another wonderful day. Father God, we thank you again for an opportunity to be gathered in your namesake on this prayer line. Lord God, we want to ask, Father God, that you will truly just bless each and every one of us. And we, Lord God, we just want to invite your blessed spirit to have its way here, oh God. We ask that you will open up our hearts and our minds to truly receive you. And we want to receive you spiritually, Lord God. For us not, Lord Father God, to come listening with a hardened hearts and having our, just being in our flesh, oh God. We want to receive what you have for us spiritually. Lord God, if there's anything that's heavy on us, that's bothering us, that's weighing on us, that's troubling us, oh God, we ask that we just let that just be pushed aside, leaving that at your feet, oh God, and truly just receiving you right now in this moment. Well, Father God, we need to learn how to lay things at your feet and stop worrying, stop stressing over things that are happening in this life, over people and situations and circumstances. Lord, Father God, if it's not of you, oh God, we ask, Lord, Father God, that you would help us to overcome it and just keep pressing forward. Lord, Father God, asking for a spirit of praise, a spirit of worship, just being able to truly receive you for who you are. Father God, we thank you for the practice, what you preach, prayer line, oh God. We pray that you will continue to blessing and allow it to grow. Move in a special way for every person that calls in, every person that's connected to the lines, if they're on the phones, if they're on the internet, however they are connected to this line, whoever they're connected to, oh God, we ask that you will truly just bless them and move and have your way in each and every individual's life, oh God. We pray that you will truly move in a mighty way. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this love. We thank you that you carried us through another day, oh God, and help us, Lord Father God, if we have any complaints in our hearts and our minds, oh God, that you will help us, Lord Father God, not to have that complaining spirit, oh God. And I just pray that you will continue to just move and increase in us. Help us to grow more in you, closer to you each and every day, oh God. I lay all my troubles at your feet right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. And I ask to hear a word, hear a song, a testimony, something that will be moving, Lord Father God. tailor-made just for me, Lord God. Each and every individual person, what they stand in need of, let us all be connected as one, one spirit, Lord God, one faith. It's only you, oh God. It's all for you and your glory. Help us to receive you and be focused on you and nothing else. We thank you for this prayer line. We thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those that want to be and could not be on here, oh God. Bless them and touch them in their lives, oh God. Every leader, Lord, Father God, we pray that you will touch them in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Thank you again for an opportunity to praise you. And, Lord God, I offer up this prayer in your precious Son, Yahweh's name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen,
amen. Amen. Can you hear me, Ralph?
Yeah, yep, got you.
Okay, all right. Okay, baby, once again, today is Wednesday, April the 6th. 2016, the day the Lord has made. We are always going to rejoice and be glad in it from our whole ministry, from our whole staff of PWYP, Raphael Mack, myself, Felicia Neville, and others. We just want to just say welcome to the Practice What You Preach open forum prayer line this evening. We always honor our prayer requests. We always encourage good testimonies. Please hit one on your phone at the end of the broadcast, and we'll be more than happy to touch and agree with you on any prayer request. And we always say, never hold your tongue back on a good testimony, for we are overcomers by our testimony. Have a few announcements I want to let you guys know about. Once again, how Raphael just said, our homeless feedings this Saturday, April 9th, 10 a.m. at the Coalition on the corner of Central and Terry Street. You guys want to come out and hang out with us. So if you guys have anything you want to give, it's not too late to give, you know, money, food, or clothes, or bottled water, or whatever. If you guys want to just come out and hang out with us and help us to serve and just, you know, help us to pray with those people that desire prayer, or help us organize clothes or food or whatever, just come out and hang out with us. You're more than welcome to. We would love to have you guys out there. But for those who have never been out there with us before, you'll love it. I'm not out there a long time, probably hour 15 minutes. And so we would love to have you guys out there. No sense for anybody who wants to get, you can get in contact with myself or Raphael Mack on the prayer line. Many of you are our Facebook friends. You can get in contact with us there. Many of you guys already know my personal number. It's on my Facebook page. I put it on there all the time, but it is 407-435-2318. Once again, that number is 407-435-2318. If you live in the Orlando area, I'd be more than happy to come by your house, get whatever God may lay on your heart to give. So once again, our homeless feeding will be this Saturday, April 9th, 10 a.m. at the Coalition on the corner of Central and Terry Street. Please come out and join us. We'd love to see you guys there. This Friday, 2 days, April 8th, once again, a few of us will be going out to the Relay for Life event. This is an event on behalf of the American Cancer Society. If anybody has been affected by cancer in any shape, form, or fashion, please come out this Friday. Starts at 5 p.m. at Dr. Phillips High School on Turkey Lake Road right here in Orlando, Florida. It starts at 5 p.m. Friday afternoon. It goes all night until 7 in the morning, Saturday, April 9th. And this is called the Relay for Life. What this event is, it benefits the American Cancer Society. They have several vendors out there, several activities going on out there. You just come out there, man. You just walk a few laps on behalf of cancer research. There'll be plenty of good food out there, plenty of good drinks. A lot of stuff is free. As you're going around the track, there's good-hearted people just offering you all kind of stuff, man. Hamburgers and hot dogs and chicken and all kind of stuff, and just gathering for a good cause. And then if you haven't been out there before, for you first-timers, you would love the atmosphere. A lot of cancer survivors out there, family members, and we are supporting our childhood friend, Miyanda Little Anderson, and Team Little. This is their third year being involved in that. So once again, this Friday, starting at 5 p.m. at Dr. Phillips High School on Turkey Lake Road, the Relay for Life event that affiliated the American Cancer Society. We want you guys to still come on our prayer line on Friday. Come on and join us on Friday. And then if you live in the Orlando area and if you feel like it, then make your way over to Dr. Phillips High School and walk a few laps on behalf of cancer research. My last announcement is about the Tangelo Park Give Back Day. That's not until next month. That'll be Saturday, May 21st. We had to change the date from the 28th, but that's Memorial Day weekend. So we pushed it up a week. It'll be Saturday, May 21st at the Tangelo Park YMCA from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. I want to thank all of the people who have contacted myself and Sean Green about cooking food, about giving money. We're going to have a great time. I think this year is going to be the best one yet. This is our fourth year doing it. And this is sponsored by Sean Green, our ministry, the Tangelo Park YMCA, and this year Pastor Andrew Pollock and the Tangelo Baptist Church will be involved in helping us out as well. So we thank God for that. So just bring your families out there. It's a fun day for family and kids. We're going to have free food, good music. We're going to have activities. We're going to have the kids' jumper, the kids' slider. We're talking to two different kids' dance groups right now who want to come out there and perform. We're trying to get some poets to come out there as well and different activities. We'll have a three-point shootout contest there and also a best cake eating, a best cake contest, rather, out there. So come on out and join us, as how Raphael said. You don't have to be from Tangelo Park. It is for anybody and everybody. And let's come on out and join us, man. Let's have a good time with us. It's going to be a great time. Nothing but love and positivity will be all around the air. Come out and enjoy some good food and some good company, and let's have a good time and bring your kids and let them have a good time as well. So once again, that'll be Saturday, next month, May 21st, at Tangelo Park YMCA from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. And if you desire to give to this call, you can get in contact again. Myself or Raphael Macklin's prayer line, or either on Facebook. You can call me on that same number I gave out before. If you want to cook some food for us, that's fine. If you want to donate some chairs or tables, we can use some tents right now as well. So if you want to just give any kind of way money, please get in contact with myself or Raphael Mack. So we appreciate y'all in advance. We thank y'all in advance. God's doing some great things, and we also going to be giving out the Detricia Williams Scholarship Fund in April 25th, in a little under 3 weeks, and I will give you guys some more information on that starting next week. So God is doing some good things. He's involved some good things that we're involved in. Everything will be successful. It's going to be run and done in a proper way. So with that being said, let's continue into the program with Raphael Mack. Amen.
Amen. Like I say, y'all, this will be a part two message, but I want the people, the men and women of God, to get excited about what God is doing. There's some amazing things that God is doing, and although that God is about to reveal some great things in your life and about to show you what he has been doing or what he was trying to present you with all along, you got to understand that the devil is not going to stop doing what he's trying to do to you. And what you must understand is a distraction to get you not to receive the things that God is about to present you with. You have to stay focused. You have to look to the hill from which cometh your help. All your help come from God. You can't be swayed by your circumstances or your situation. And I'm telling you, it may sound easy or something that I'm just saying, I get hit too. I get things thrown at me all the time, but I don't talk about it. I don't post it on Facebook. I don't be talking about the devil business. I refuse to give Satan glory in any kind of way. If I confide in anybody, it's to people that I trust, it's to people that I know that know how to pray, people that know that I feel that knows the Lord. And I touch and agree with them. I don't waste my energy talking about how busy Satan is and all that kind of foolishness. Everybody knows Satan busy. The Word of God said that Satan is going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. We know Satan busy. And I'm going to tell you, if you stop giving him that power about talking about how busy he is on the phone with your friends and talking about how busy he is on the when you're on the job and when you're on Facebook and all of this kind of stuff, that's fuel for the enemy. That's power for the enemy. But when you learn to say it that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, start quoting the word back to the enemy, the same thing Jesus had to do when he was being tempted. We are no less or no different than what he had to do. We have to take that word back to Satan and say things to him that thou should not tempt the Lord thy God, and also you are a form of God. You are a little God. You are a part of God, and you can speak the same word back to the enemy. I should not be tempted. And then the devil will flee from you, because the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. So I just want to encourage somebody tonight to understand that all because God is doing some amazing things in your life does not mean Satan's going to leave you alone. You have to stay on your God. Satan works every day, all day. He never takes a day off. He don't take no day off when you got your breakthrough. He don't take a day off when you're in church. He don't take no day off when you learn how to speak in tongues. He don't take no day off if you get the gift of prophecy. He don't take no day off if you got the hands of healing. He don't take a day off. He's always on his post, and you got to get on yours. Let's go into tonight's message. Amen. Grounded in Faith. Part 2, we'll play on Friday.
Where'd you go? All right, let's get out. Today we're going to talk about being grounded in your faith. We're going to talk about being grounded in your faith, and I think this is very, very important. It's probably one of the most under-discussed, underutilized areas in the church today, because we have a tendency to focus a lot of teaching on the fruit of walking with God, the blessings and the benefits of walking with God. And we draw people who are drawn to the idea of having that fruit. Who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want the assurance of not being in things by themselves? Who doesn't want that benefit? Who doesn't want to be healed? There are no sick people that don't want to be healed. There are no people that are down that don't want to be raised. Everybody wants the benefits, but nobody wants the policy. So what we have is we have a lot of people who are gathering around fruit, and they're hearing the preacher preach about the fruit, and they're trying to see the fruit evidenced in their life. So you come here and you get a jump start, you get a motivational message, it sounds real good, and you leave excited, but you're not seeing it happen in your life, because I'm up here talking about fruit, and you don't have any root. You cannot produce fruit without root. If Christ is not the center of your life, not an accoutrement, not an accessory, not an optional item on an automobile that you could take or leave. I'll do it. I don't know. I don't feel. I'm not feeling it today. If he's optional, you are not producing fruit because you're not rooted. And you have to be grounded in your faith. Say that with me. Grounded in my faith. And that's a very powerful thing, grounded in my faith. Now, there are lots of buildings all over Dallas, all over the country, all over the world that are full of people with somebody up front talking, from universities to comedy shows to political arenas. Arenas are filled with people who are basically sitting in pews and somebody standing up front and talking. What gives us distinction from all of those other groups who are leaving all revved up and fired up about their political party or about their university or about their football team is that we are grounded in faith. If we miss the root that defines us, we might as well just be one of them. I have spoken on platforms with Tony Robbins and motivational speakers, Deepak Chopra, and different people like that, and had the opportunity to be motivational. I have taught staff development for corporations and corporate offices. I have functioned in a lot of different capacities, but what gives me distinction when I stand up here, this is not about corporation. This is not about motivation. This is about being regenerated by the Spirit of God and having the root of Christ in your life. If you miss that, you're missing the best part of being here. If you miss that, you will shout about something that you never see materialize in your life, and you'll eventually drift off, because I keep talking about fruit. I keep showing you apples and oranges, and you go home and you can't find an apple or orange anywhere, and then it makes it look like I'm a liar. I'm not a liar. The fruit is a promise to people who have the root. But you're not grounded in the faith. You're not grounded in the faith. And if you're not grounded in the faith, then you will not see the inevitable fruit that comes from being grounded. It's inevitable. You just cannot stop it. If you are grounded, if you're planted right, you're coming up right. Romans 6, if you're buried with me in the likeness of his death, you will be like me in the power of my resurrection. You cannot claim resurrection power and you're not buried with me. You're not planted with me. You're not anchored with me. You can take it or leave it. You cannot see the fruit that way. The fruit is not contagious. You don't get it by sitting by the right people. The person beside you can be fruitful and you can be fruitless. You can be married to somebody who is fruitful, and you can lay beside them every night and be miserable and be fruitless, because fruit is not contagious. You don't catch it by being in the right place at the right time. You don't just get it by coming to the potter's house. You can come in this church every Sunday and clap and sing and shout and not get what the person next to you is getting, because they are rooted and you are just here. It's kind of hard for me to sit beside somebody who's just here, because when I'm really eating so that I can feed my root and produce my fruit, they're kind of looking around talking about, oh, are those LED screens he has up there? Yeah, oh, I think he gained weight. He lost weight. I don't like his tie. You're talking about all kind of stuff that don't have anything to do with what made me get up out of the bed on a Sunday morning and come to church. I didn't come to church to see if you got on a nice hat. You could have sent me a picture of the hat. I came to church because I want to feed that holy thing that exists inside of me. I got everything else feeding all that other stuff that exists inside of me. I have to be intentional about feeding that holy part of me. That hellish part of me can't eat all by itself. All I got to do is get around you and that hellish part will come right out. If I stay around you long enough, you're going to get on my nerves about something, and I'm going to want to let you have it, and it's going to be instantaneous and automatic. That is also true about staying around God. If I stay around God and stay around his presence, his character, his nature, is going to produce things in me without effort. It's going to happen if I am grounded in my faith. Grounded. You don't know if you're grounded in your faith if your faith is not tested. You can't tell if your companion is faithful if the faith is not tested. Oh, I'm going to be with you. Pay no attention to those promises. I'm a ride or die. They will leap out the window. They will leap out the window while the car is moving. Just go down a little while and see who's left standing beside you. Get sick for more than a week and see who's there taking care of you. Lose your job and see who's going to ride or die then. Get evicted out of your house and see who stays around when the going gets tough. Now you can say you're faithful, because I was with you when you had money. I was with you when you didn't have money. I was with you when you was well. I was with you when you was sick. I was with you when you was a size 7. I was with you when you was a size 27, and I'm still here the rest of the way. If you don't have that, you don't have faithfulness. Faithfulness is consistency, always abiding. Through it all, storms, wind, rain, I'm still here. Somebody holler, I'm still here. So we're going to talk about what are the basic elements that cause us to be grounded in our faith. I want you to go to Colossians for a minute, chapter 1, verse 17 through 23. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 17, 23. And this is really, really review. It might be boring to some of you who are already grounded, but you need it too. You're going to be all right. You don't have to stand. I'm just teaching. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23. When you have it, say amen. If you can't find it, say I can't find it. I could sense somebody's desperation. Oh, God, where is it? How's this settle for Corinthians? I'll just fake it till I can make it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23, when you have it, say amen. Amen's getting better. It's getting better. If you're still looking, say, wait on me. Y'all scared to say it. There's just three ladies out there with courage. Courage. Wait on me. I'm better. You should download our app, incidentally. And you should download the TDJ's app, and you can get that material. Ultimately, I'm going to put my notes from the teaching on the app, so that you can download my notes and make it. Wouldn't that be cool? Amen. So I want you to download the app and you have access to the material. And besides, if you get in the app, you can find things a little easier. It makes you look smart and spiritual. If you can spell Colossians, you can find it most of the time. Amen. So get that. We've got the Bible app coming. We've got all kinds of great stuff coming. Colossians 1, 17 through 23, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I want to take that one verse. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. If that is not your testimony, you are not grounded in the faith. The writer here speaks in reference to the creation, that he is the creator throughout through which the creation has been formed. He is before all things. Alpha, the beginning. In the beginning, God, not matter, not atoms, not molecules, not cells, not monkeys. In the beginning, God. He is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Again, the writer is talking about cosmos. He's talking about planets. He's talking about the earth. He's talking about galaxies, atmosphere, all matter, material things. All things by him consist. And this is true. Even science can only go so far in the exploration of what causes material to hold together. There is some invisible force between atoms and molecules that cause them to connect, that science knows holds it together but cannot define it. The Bible clearly defines it. It is God. Holding your chair together, it is God. Holding your house together, it is God. Holding the molecules of the wood together, it is God. Holding your life together, it is God. Holding your mind together, by him all things consist. He is the recipe. He is the force. He is the glue that holds all things together. Anything that lasts long in your life and is consistent because God is holding it together. In fact, God is holding you together. How many of you know that you've gone through enough things that you should have lost your mind, had a nervous breakdown, threw in the towel, freaked out on everybody, gone postal at work, shot everybody to death, and yet you're coming in talking about, good morning, how are you today? It is not because you're so strong. It is not because you're so powerful, but he is holding you together. Come on, somebody. The writer says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he should have the preeminence. He is in charge. He's the boss. He's the CEO. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is above and before all things. He is the head of the church. He runs the church. He's got the last say-so on everything. Why would you come to this place and never meet the head? The head is God. He is the head, and you are not here until you are connected to him, because he is before all things, and by him all things consider. That seems real simple, except what you don't realize is that many people come to church because they're not connected to God. They're connected to the butler's house. Some people come here, they're not connected to God, they're connected to me. Some people come here, but they're not connected to God, they're connected to all the beautiful women that are in the church. They didn't come to church to seek God, they came to seek you. All of you sitting there looking all shocked. I've been out in the lobby. Everybody's not passing scriptures. I've seen those brothers out there winking and blinking and talking about, praise the Lord. There's a praise the Lord, and then there's a praise the Lord. Anytime you drop down into your bass tone, it's not for Jesus. Come on, it's not for Jesus. It's not for Jesus. It's a camouflage suit with a hidden agenda. Just because he says Jesus stuff doesn't mean he's a Jesus guy. Watch them tones. When that voice drops down, it is not for the Lord, baby. It is for you. Let all the brothers say amen. You have to realize then that this only becomes relevant to you when you have a God connection. He is the head of the body, the church. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, I want you to understand, I want you to underline that word preeminence. If you're old-timey and you're writing in the Bible like I do, or if you're taking notes, I want you to underscore it, because that preeminence is important. It speaks to majesty. It speaks to royalty. You address certain royalties by calling him His Eminence. His Eminence. We have come before you today to greet His Eminence with the various facts and components of this case. God says not only is he His Eminence, he is preeminent. He is before all other eminence. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is absolutely there. I am trying to get you to understand that what I'm talking about being grounded in your faith is having a relationship with more than superficial accoutrements of religious suggestions, more than crosses on your neck, ectus on your car, more than wearing long skirts and looking deep and spiritual, more than playing Mahalia Jackson in your house, more than skip dancing to praise and worship music. We got a whole lot of that. But when trouble comes, the reason you can't stand trouble is that your root doesn't go any deeper than the fact that you sing in the choir. And if they don't call on you to sing your solo, you'll leave this church. Because you are not rooted to God, you're rooted to the stage. And if you don't get the stage, you are out of here. If we don't acknowledge your ministry, you are out of here. If you don't get to preach, you are out of here. If you don't get to be seen, you are out of here. If you don't get the platform you need, you are out of here. But there are some people in this church, whether I sing or don't sing, whether I preach or don't preach, whether I'm on the stage or on the floor, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And you can tell a difference between somebody who's singing for the stage and singing for the Savior. I don't care what you say, you can tell a difference. Preeminence, that he is before all things, that he is royalty, that he is the head, that he is in charge, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Does God have preeminence in your life? Or is he an EMT, an emergency medical technician, who we only call when we're in trouble? That's the last call. God says, I don't want to be the last call you make. I want to be the first call you make. I want you to call me when you're looking at the job. not when you're about to get laid off the job. I want you to call me early in the morning before your day gets started. I want to be before all things, and by him all things consist. I want you to have a prayer life when there is no microphone. I want you to pray off camera. I want you to pray in the shadows, in the dark, every day consistently until I know that I am before all things in your life. You won't take a job without me. You won't move without me. You won't take a position without me. You will not marry without me. You will not choose a spouse without me. You won't make a medical decision without me. I want to know that I am before all things. You go ahead and keep putting your spouse first. You'll find out spouses will fail. Children will fail. Pets will fail. Mama, as good as mama is, will fail you. Daddy, as wonderful as daddy is, will fail you. But God says, I have never failed you. I have always been there for you. Why are you making me last when I ought to be first in your life? In fact, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God in all its righteousness, and all these things should be added. I gave you the husband. I gave you the wife. I blessed you to have the children. I gave you the job. I gave you the house. I gave you the education. I paid your school bill. I brought you through the storm. I wish I had a witness in here. Somebody shout preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, talking about Jesus, should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that in him, being in Christ, should all fullness dwell. This is even the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Without Jesus, you cannot access the Father or the Holy Spirit. That in him should all fullness dwell. When you say Jesus, you have not robbed the Father, nor have you ripped off the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the icon through which you gain access to the fullness of the Godhead. All you got to do is press Jesus and the whole Godhead opens up to you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. The Bible said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made of himself no reputation. He so pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Let me give you more Bible. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not aside from, not apart from, in whom I am well pleased. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
You just hit the button. You just hit the button. You just hit the button that accesses the fullness. Do you understand the power of what I'm saying? That when you're in that hospital room and you say, in the name of Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead is accessible through that one click. J-E-S-U-S opens up the fullness of the Godhead. This is what we believe. In an ecumenical society that does not see the difference between Muslims and Christianity, between Mormons and Christianity, in a society that receives its religious indoctrination through the 6 o'clock news, who has a responsibility to make sure that they are equal amongst all faiths, because you are learning about your God through secular voices, you don't see the difference between me and Farrakhan. We're both black, we both got a crowd, and we're both talking religious stuff and community development. You don't understand the distinctives of your faith. That's why you'll see an ignorant church shout no matter who's talking, because you don't understand. Oh, it's going to get quiet in here. It's going to get dark in here. There is a definite distinction. There is a definite distinction. There is a definite distinction. This is not a mosque. This is not a temple. This is not a synagogue. This is the church of the living God, for the blood washed, for the sanctified, for the redeemed. I respect other people's faith. Don't get it wrong. I respect other people's faith. I'm glad I live in a country that will allow people to teach and preach whatever they believe, but I know who I am, and I know what I believe. I'm talking about being grounded in your faith and having a clear understanding. And you have to, let me tell you something. It takes some work to be grounded. Now, let me talk to you because I want you to understand. A lot of times, and I told you this before, a lot of times the Bible uses agricultural metaphors to preach spiritual truths. And I may get to this or may not. When Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches, he's talking about relationships. He's using a agricultural metaphor to teach a spiritual principle. So in keeping with that ideology, I want you to understand something. Agriculture is literally agra, land in Latin. Culture is the word we get cult. So agriculture is a land cult. What is a cult? A cult is something that is not orthodox. We say something is a cult when they differ from the norm. Okay? My mother planted collard greens on the side of the hill in West Virginia. It was a cult to the terrain. It was a cult because it would not have grown normally. It was forced to grow. Okay? Weeds, you don't have to garden weeds. You don't have to dig around them. You don't have to dung around them. Mama would have us carrying fertilizer and reading almanacs to see what day you ought to plant on. You don't have to do none of that for weeds because weeds are organic or orthodox to the land. If you're going to have a garden, the garden is a cult because it differs from the norm. It is a land cult, and it has to be planted. It takes more work. It has to be dug around. The soil has to be acclimated for that crop because it would not normally grow in that environment. The reason God uses agricultural metaphors to explain your relationship is that it is not normal for you to love your enemies. It is not normal for you to do good to them that despitefully use you. It is not normal for you to get up on your only free day and drag yourself out to the house of God and go to church. Weeds don't do that. You have to force that. You have to dig for that. You have to dung for that. You have to put some effort into that in order to be grounded. It does not happen arbitrarily. It happens intentionally. You will not forgive naturally. It is not in your nature to be forgiving. It is your nature to retaliate. It is your nature to respond. It is your nature to react. So God says, I'm going to have to force something to grow in you that is not natural to your human depravity, and I'm going to plant my character over in you, and you're going to have to dig around it and dung around it until it catches root, and all of a sudden the weeds have to back up, and there you are forgiving somebody you would have cursed out. Natural to stay with one woman for 40 years? Weeds don't do that. Weeds just grow everywhere. Been with each other so long, you know what you're going to say before you say it. Oh, you want some coffee? They don't even have to talk no more, just sign language. Here's your pillow. It's not natural to stay in that situation. He has to put that in you. He has to put that in you. He has to put that in you intentionally. Where you are there in the rain. You married her, she was fine. Looked like a Coca-Cola bottle in a girdle. Five 5 years later, she looks like a 2-liter Pepsi in a plastic jug. I'm not looking at nobody, so y'all can't say. I'm looking all up in the air and at the clouds and everything. When you married him, he had triceps and biceps and ripples and all kinds of stuff. Oh, a six-pack. Now when he gets ready to go into the shower, it looks like an 18-wheeler just pulled in to get a car wash. And you still say, that's my baby. You know that's not natural. You know you lied a little bit too, but that's all right. We'll talk about that later. The thing I'm trying to show you is indeed. Yeah, she says it's all good. It's all good. All of these things that Christianity purports to be what we are assigned to do are cults that have to be planted. You have to dig around you. You have to be willing to give up some of your comfort, pull some rocks and move some weeds to make it conducive. That's why some of you still haven't gotten saved, because you're waiting on it to naturally happen. Salvation is an interruption. It's a disruption. It's an alarming disruption in your behavior. You had your life all planned out, and here comes Jesus. Messed up everything. Some people get saved, and getting saved puts them out of business. Don't make me explain. They had a good way of making money. They had a little get over. They had a little hustle going on. They knew how to work it. They had the right environment. The right people knew them. And then they came on Easter service because their girlfriend asked them to come to church, and they gave their life to Jesus. And all of a sudden they had to break up with the sugar daddy, had to leave the sugar uncle. Wasn't no sugar in the house, running around with equal in your pocketbook, trying to figure out how to survive off of saccharine income. Jesus just messed up your life. You know why? He starts digging and stuff. He starts raking and stuff. He starts plowing and stuff. That's good. So he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. I want to deal with that in pieces. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, this peace is not your peace. When the Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, it is not talking about the peace you have inside. It is the peace that existed between the conflict between you and God. My natural nature is an enmity against God, Romans 8. I'm at war with God. I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was a mess when I got here. Before I ever told a lie, I was a liar. Before I ever cheated, I was a whoremonger. Before I ever committed adultery, I was born in an adultery. I don't believe he shut up. Of course he will. You will too. And probably have. Y'all just sneakier than us. We were born in sin. It's not like we bumped into it. I know I shock you all the time. That's how I keep you awake. We were born in sin. We were born. It's not that we're. See, you have been taught, even by religious people, to focus on the acts of sin. But what causes you to be at war with God is that you were born in the state of sin. Before you ever committed an act, you were a sinner before you did it. That's why I figured I might as well to do it. I'm going to hell for it anyway. Born in sin, shaping iniquity. I was born on death row. Born dying. The first day I took a breath, I was dying. All of you people that have gotten a negative report from the doctor says you're dying, the doctor's late. You were dying when you got here. All of us are dying while we're sitting here right now. That's why you spend all that money trying to fight the death. Fighting the death. Coloring it and painting and pulling on it and tugging it up. You're dying. Accept it. You're dying. Your back is telling you. Your ears are telling you. Your eyes are telling you. Your knees are telling you. You're dying. You're dying. You're just painting it up and everything. It looks good. It's an old barn. It's just been well painted. You're dying. Yeah. Amen for the good paint. I ain't against a little paint job. Amen. Fix them cracks and fill in them crevices and scale down that rust. You're dying. And we were at war with God. Jesus made peace between me and God, because Jesus made me appear righteous, paid the price for my wrong, so that I am no longer an enemy of God. And he did it by his blood. He appeased God's demand for justice. I wish I had time to really work on that. He appeased. Can I get into it a little bit? Let me tell you what happened in the garden. Most of you know what happened in the garden, but you don't know why it happened. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and Adam and Eve were created in a state of righteousness and perfection, and there was no enmity or odds between God and Adam, they had fellowship, they had communion, the voice of the Lord could walk through the cool of the garden and access Adam at will, all was good until Satan came along. And this is Satan. Satan's trick was to try to use God's power against him. So he says, I can't beat God. He kicked me out of heaven. Now I'm going to fight him on neutral territory. I'm going to fight him on earth. In order to fight him, I have no power against him, so I'm going to use God's power against him, because Satan is sneaky. Always remember that. He's sneaky. He's sneaky. He never wants what you think he wants. He's always after something else. Ooh, I could get off on that. Now, so what he says, God loved man. That's clear. God hated sin. That's clear. As long as God loved man and God hated sin and they were divided, it was good. So Satan comes along and says, okay, so you hate sin and you love man. What happens if I take what you hate and put it in what you love? Now I put you in conflict, because when I take what you hate, which is sin, and put it in what you love, which is man, if you go ahead and love him, you're going to have to love what you hate. And if you love what you hate, then that makes you a liar. He said, but if you hate him because he's got sin, you're going to have to hate who you love. Salvation is a problem. It is a problem that God had to solve. God says, so how do I save what I love and destroy what I hate? When I told you, Adam, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And now you've eaten it. Now I'm supposed to kill you. What am I going to do? If I kill you, I'm going to kill what I love. And if I love you, I'm going to love what I hate. Salvation was God's dilemma. It was never Adam's dilemma. Adam could never save himself. So away with all the things you're doing to save yourself. You cannot do it. It was God's dilemma. So God says, I tell you what I'm going to do. Since you have partaken what I hate, and now what I hate is in who I love, we are at war with each other. Okay? See what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get you. And he's over there saying, what you come over here for? I don't have anything to do with it. That's because you're the innocent lamb. You wasn't even in the fight. But I'm going to bring you over here and take the wrath that I should have executed on you, and I'm going to turn it and kill you. So you're going to die for her so that she can live because of you. That is salvation. Satan says, how can you let that guilty woman live? He says, I didn't. I killed her in him. So, you paid the price for something you never did eat so that she could have the righteousness for something she couldn't earn. You died in her name. She lives in your name. So the life that she now lives, she lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself a ransom to Oshadaha. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is what we believe. Whew. Glory. That's what you're praising him for. That's what you're shouting about. That's what you're clapping your hands about. That's what you're singing about. It's not about your car. It's not about your house. It's not about your job. It's your salvation to be washed in the blood. People around here shouting over gold watches and neckties and jobs that they're going to fire you from and money you're going to spend anyway and people who are going to walk out of your life just like they walked in. You don't praise God for stuff. You praise God for salvation. Shake hands with somebody and tell them that's what makes me a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I don't smoke. I'm not a Christian because I don't lie. I'm not a Christian because I don't cheat. I'm a Christian because I am resting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which has redeemed me from the curse of the law and from sin and death. To God be the glory. Somebody tell him he did it for me. He did it for me. He did it for me. So whatever you heard about me and whatever you think about me, it don't even matter because Jesus paid it all. To him, I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed that.
Hey, man. we're gonna pick up on Friday, y'all. I tell you, I hope y'all enjoyed the word tonight. Know that word was getting good to me. I hope it was good to you as well. But we're going to leave it right there. We'll pick back up again on Friday. If anybody desire prayer, want to say something, hit 1, and I will open up your line. Amen. If you're listening by computer, in order to call in, you have to make a prayer request, you have to call in. The call-in number is 310-807-5230. You can call in. We can touch and agree. You can get your prayer requests in or your testimony, whatever God has laid on your heart. Amen. So the call-in number is 310-807-5230. Amen. Well, it appears to me that all minds and hearts are clear. So we're going to get out of here, and we'll talk to you all again on Friday night, same number, same time. if the Lord say the same. Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, let me just check my line one more time. Make sure I'm not missing anybody. All right. All the lines are clear, so we'll talk to y'all again on Friday night, same number, same time. God bless y'all. Good night.
Oh, Thank you.